I want to talk to you on the subject sin, its essence, and its cure. Now, we don't always understand our sin, and I believe that we need to for us to be saved. We have to know what sin is. For you to be forgiven and to be right with God in your life, you have to have a look at your sin of your life and what you are. And sometimes that's not a very easy thing to do, nor pleasant. But God is very plain, and God is very true, and we need that truth. I remember sometimes being rebuked by someone. I remember a preacher years ago when I was in eighth grade said something to me, and he didn't hardly know me, but he was absolutely right, and it really changed my life. And God is that way. He tells us the truth, and sometimes it's not always easy, but it is something always good, and we need to know it. Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 3. Do you stand, Brother Houston? Let's all stand. You know, you're kind of a good-looking group, too. I just noticed that. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And now Genesis, the third chapter. And there's a parallel here. I hope that you will catch it. In Genesis chapter 3, we also have the temptation of Eve. In chapter 4 of Matthew, it's been the temptation of Christ. Now we have Eve's temptation in this chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. How sad. Our Father, help us today. Show us our own life, what we have done against you. Show us, Lord, the Savior, and what he did for us to save us. And show us clearly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Sin is a horrible thing. It's always, though, horrible in our natural way of thinking, horrible in somebody else. Somebody says, what is sin? What is it? How bad is it? We can see it a little more clearly when we look at someone else's life. Maybe if you went with me down to downtown Los Angeles and walked the streets as I do every week and go out and talk to people about the Lord out there, you might say, my, what a horrible thing sin is, as you see the destruction and ruin that it's brought into people's lives. And it's amazing how deep that destruction is. And we might say, oh, what do you see down there and what is it that people do? Well, certainly you would see a lot of drugs and a lot of destruction in that. You would also see child molesters. You would see perverted people and their sins. And you would see even murderers and people in that kind of condition. It's a terrible place. and sin is very rampant and it's very open. And there's very little shame about it, very openness about it. And we'd say that's sin. We can recognize that. We can see that in others. And we can see how sin, how horrible it is and what it does to people. But I hope that we would see this morning what we are and our own sin. And I hope that our hearts would be turned to see what God sees in us. It's a very important thing for you to recognize sin. Somebody says, well, at least I'm not a murderer, or I don't commit adultery, or I'm not a drug taker. And those things are not a part of my life. I'm not involved in those things. I'm not really all that bad in sin. But you see, when Eve was tempted to sin, all she did was eat a piece of fruit. Surely we've done worse than that, do you think? Somebody says, I'm not a bad sinner. I said, do you think that you've done worse than Eve when she ate the piece of fruit? Oh, well, yes, I think I have. I say, do you think you're as good as Jesus? And they say, oh, no, no. But you see, we have this attitude, I'm not so bad. I'm really a good person deep inside. I ask people there at the mission when they come in and they come forward maybe to talk about the Lord Jesus. I ask them, are you a good person? And they say, oh, yes, I'm a good person. Almost 90, probably 95% of the time, that's the answer I get. And we would maybe ask that question of today, and what kind of answer would you give? Well, if you saw your sin as God sees it, you could not answer and say, I'm a good person. And if you see your sin today as it is real, as it really is, if you could see yourself in the eyes that God has to see sin, you would say, oh, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You would say, oh, how could God have anything to do with me if we see our sin? Three times Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And it is very clear that he endured the temptation and he did not do wrong. And therefore, he became the Savior. He was the Savior, fulfilled the work that then he had to do that righteousness might be given to us. His life, tempted but not sinful. But in all points, like we, and I say to you that Eve was tempted in those same points that the Lord Jesus was tempted in. They're exactly alike. When the tempter came to Christ, he said, turn these stones into bread. Jesus had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Now then, turn these stones into bread. I remember years ago when I was a boy, I wondered what was so bad about turning stones into bread. Did not Jesus take the few fish and loaves of bread and multiply them and feed the 5,000? And why was it be so wrong for him to take the stones and turn them into bread that he might have something to eat? It is strange in our thinking, what's so bad about that? And in fact, we would say the same about Eve, wouldn't we? What's so bad about eating a piece of fruit? But in those things, we see the essence of sin. When Jesus answered Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Eve was tempted, he came through the serpent to Eve and said, yea, has God said you can't eat of every tree of the garden? Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And Satan said, ye shall not surely die. Well, God had just told him, if you look back in chapter 2, that in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. But Satan says, no, you won't die. What is being brought to bear here? What is the focus on? Sin is against God. Sin is an act or a deed or a thought, an attitude that is against God. It's an affront to God. It's an offense to God. Why is this such an offense to God that Eve would eat that fruit or that Christ would change the stones into bread? And it's the same answer. And we could look at Eve and we would shout maybe to her warning, Believe God's word. Don't believe what you're hearing now. Well, sin is doubting what God says. And Eve was tempted to doubt the very word that God spoke. And Jesus was asked or tempted to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, how subtle Satan is. But the problem was that Jesus recognized that this was an affront to God because it would remove Jesus out from under the directions of God's word. You do not live by bread alone, but you do live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, God said, don't eat that fruit. And Eve did not believe God's word. She's not suicidal. She takes of the fruit and she eats it because she does not believe what God said. And when you sin against God, and that you say, what your word says or what your direction is or even what you've written upon my heart about what is right and what is wrong, I don't need to listen to that. I have my own ideas and I do not really believe what you say. Now, you can call me a liar. That's fine. I've told some lies. But to say God is not truthful, that is a serious matter. To say that I can do this and I can do that and it's not going to harm me when God says it'll kill you. You believe your own ideas. You believe your own thoughts. You believe what society says and you do not believe what God says. That's what sin's about. Can you imagine parents, your child coming to you and saying, I don't believe you? Well, they do that, don't they? When they act against what you have warned them about and encourage them to go in the right direction, and they think there's no problem in doing whatever they want to do, they do not believe you. And that's a problem to you. It ought to be a problem to you. But how much more, you and I as parents, we're not what we ought to be. But God has been true and right in everything forever. And to say, I don't have to listen to you. I can make my own choices. What an affront that is to God. You see, it's not just eating a piece of fruit, is it? It's saying to God, I don't have to listen to what you say. And then Satan said to Christ, when he takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple, he says, jump off, cast yourself down. For the scripture says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And you're not in any danger if God would do what he promised to do. Jump off. And Satan said to Eve, God doth know. In the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, he was saying to Eve, something good could happen to you. And God knows it. And God's just not letting you have it. Do you see? It's very subtle, isn't it? The questioning of God's goodness. That's the essence of sin. God has withheld something from you. Is God really good? Is God to be trusted? Is God right? And so many people experience such trouble in life. And they say, I don't know how there could be a God. I was on the street the other day and I gave a tract to a man and he said, I'm an atheist. I said, why are you an atheist? He said, I've seen so much bad and trouble. I don't see how God is real. With all the troubles and sorrows that I've seen. You see what we do? Somehow it's twisted. God tells us right things and true things and good things for us. And somehow and we don't listen and we go our own way. And then somehow it's twisted that it's God's fault. That God didn't do us right. That God didn't make us happy. God knows, he said to Eve. Why, you could be as God's. There's something wonderful. Know the knowledge you'd have. And God knows that. And if you ate of that tree, you'd have these wonderful things. How tragic it is. Have you ever seen a life full of bitterness? Anger and hatred boiling over? As many of people are good at holding it in, I suppose, and not letting it be seen. But I say to you that God is in control, and either you believe that God is not in control, or you believe that if you're bitter, I'm saying, if you're angry, if you think God has done something wrong to you, you either believe that he didn't have the power to make it right or do it right, or you just believe he's wrong. And either way, oh, how tragic it is. This world is in its shape and sorrow and suffering and twistedness. And all the anger and bitterness in life that there is for people that have lived. And all the death and sorrow because this woman did not believe and have confidence in the goodness of God. Somehow she thought God has withheld something good from her. And now then look at the pain. Look at the misery. It's not God that did it. The essence of sin is doubting God's word, and it's denying God's goodness. Many decisions and many directions are made because we're angry. We have a right to be happy, and we'll do whatever it is, and God won't do it for us, so we're angry, and we're going to make these our own choices. Sin. It is written, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." God is good and we will not test him at all. There is no question about it. Christ tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. He did not have any thought questioning whether God treated him right or any question of the goodness of God. Didn't have to be tested. Didn't have to be tried. And by the way, let me say this to you. And I'll kind of go over it again, these things, when we see what Christ is, we'll see them again. But may I tell you that if you want to accuse somebody of not being a good person, why, you accuse me. If you saw all of my life, you'd say, boy, that guy sure hasn't done all the everything right. You, and I could say that to you too, couldn't I? But don't say that about God. David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." When David was confronted by Nathan the prophet told a story of a rich man, and he had a guest come and visit, and instead of taking one of his own flock, all the great flocks he had, he instead took his neighbor's little ewe lamb, the only one that his neighbor had that was a pet to the family, that was so close to everyone, took that pet ewe lamb of his neighbor and killed it and fed his guest. And David said, "Whoever did that is going to die." And the prophet said, "David, you're the man. Why, I gave you everything good. And if you'd have wanted more, I'd have given you more. If you had more needs, I would have met it. But you took your neighbor's wife. Did you hear what God said? David, I would have done for you more." God is so good. And our sin is so great because we complain and murmur and get bitter. we're unhappy in life and we say, why did God do this to me? What is this essence of sin? Tempted in all points. Jesus was shown all the kingdoms of the world, and Satan said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll fall down and worship me. He said to Eve, ye shall be as gods. Well, you'll be able to rule your own life. You'll be the authority. And I tell you, this maybe is the greatest of those three matters that we're looking at. What is sin? Sin is putting your fist in the face of God and saying, I'll be my own authority, thank you. I'll make my own choices. You may be my creator and you may be the sustainer of my life, and every good thing comes down from the Father of lights. But I'm going to make my choices today. I'm not listening to you. Oh, we wouldn't say those words, but that's what we do. We're on our own authority. Doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what's right and wrong. If we feel like something, we'll do that. That's what sin is. Did you go down to the store and buy your eyes? Do you pay a rent on a heart that pumps your blood? Who gave you that heart? How much did God charge? Not a thing. And you give all the silver and gold that you own in the bank to extend your life a little while. And yet it's God that gave that life to you freely, and it's in His hands and He sustains it. And then for you to say, I'm not going to consider God in this decision that I have to make. I don't care if it's right or wrong. I'm going to do what makes me happy. That's the essence of sin. Did you notice I haven't talked about murder, have I? Did you know you can sit in a church pew and just be as guilty in the very essence of sin as the drug addict? Have we seen it? What we've done to God, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I've spoken, I've done things, I've acted ways that you were not, I acted as if you were not good. I treated you as no authority over me. I'll do as I please, and I haven't listened to your direction. I've thought my own thoughts were as good as yours. It may be better. That's what sin is. And it shows itself in many ways. It showed itself in Eve by eating the fruit that God said, don't do that. It shows in others in taking drugs. It shows in others in some bitterness against somebody else. Some adulterous matter. Some wicked ways that we have. But it's the same sin. It's the essence. Disobedience to God of sin. Going against God, His goodness, His Word, His authority. That's what sin is. And Jesus was tempted in all points, but He was without sin. I don't know what we would do if it had not been for the Lord Jesus. Well, we wouldn't be in any way able to come to God. Christ tempted, but He said no. Every word that God says, that's how I will live. It's not just of not doing something I know I shouldn't do, but doing all that God tells me to do. That's the living by the Word of God. Have you seen someone come to know Christ as their Savior? And now then, they're not listening to themselves, but they're listening to God's Word. Has it hurt them? You'd say, oh no. In fact, if you might have thought at first, oh, how terrible it is, they're fanatic. But as you've seen their life, as they've listened to what God said, you said, you know, that's work. That works out. Well, sure. Don't you think God's honest? Don't you think God is right? The Lord Jesus said, I'm to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If he tells me to do this, I'll do it. If he doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not striking out on my own. And he became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Not obedient in a few things that he picked and chose for what he wanted to do. But in everything he was obedient. Did you know the scriptures, the Old Testament, spoke so much about him and what he was to be and how he was to act. And in every way he listened to the word of God. Not just not doing something that was wrong, but doing all, fulfilling all that his father told him to do. Never, I think, was a man treated as the Lord Jesus was treated by man. How wicked it was what men did to him. Not just crucifying him, but all the mocking, all the laughter, all the hatred that was put upon him, all the rejection. And yet, what did he do? Only that which was right and good, and yet he is cursed. Was there a bitterness in him? I came to do my Father's work. And he was pressed on to do it, and it was not a terrible wrong to him. This was a right thing and a good thing. God is good. If it be possible, he said, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was not an easy thing that he did. Somebody says, oh, it was easy for Christ. No, it wasn't. This was the hard life of a world that was so evil and wicked against him. But in everything, he saw that wonderful good, followed his Father in every way, tempted but did not come into it. He was not bitter at you when we crucified him by our sin, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was not an anger toward you, but a love for you. You've never been treated as badly as he was treated. To excuse your sin, if you really would look at it as it's against God, then it's been inexcusable. Let me tell you this. Some of you have some pride. You know, I've never done this. I've never done that. I've never done that. You may have good parents that have protected you and helped you and encouraged you, and you didn't do some things that other people do, but you've done these things I'm talking about. Now, don't you look at somebody else and say, yeah, tell them, preacher. They need it. And don't you think that because you're going to church every Sunday that you have some goodness in you. No, you don't. In me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I hope I finished the story because I don't always tell it right. And people wonder. You know, and I'm going to say this. I hope you don't think I'm just... But I had a good parents. I had mom and dad that lived for the Lord. My dad ran away from home when he was 14 years of age. Rode the rails till he was 19. Back in 1916, he ran away from home. He was born in 1902. 47 almost. He was almost 47 when I was born. And I'm 105, so he's really old. And he was a hobo. You know, they didn't hold up signs back in that time, hungry wolf, you know, something like that. They didn't feed him if they didn't work. And Dad, he had a hard time and he had a hard life in those years because he ran away from home. But when he got right with the Lord, he served the Lord the rest of his life. I never was tempted at home or anywhere else because I think God showed me and my dad what the better life was. I never took a drink in my life. I don't know what beer was. Can you imagine a guy that goes down the rescue mission and I've never tasted whiskey, wine, or beer? And I don't know what drugs are. I don't know why God let me go down there, but I did. My wife and I were on our honeymoon. Now, I'm a fisherman, so we went fishing. I don't think that's funny. I thought that was normal. Anyway, we rented this little kitchenette in Colorado near where I spent some of my childhood and went fishing. We come home, you know, and I let my wife cook our fish. Now, that was terrible. That was terrible. Anyway, you know, we were 22 and looked like we were 18, probably 17. They probably thought we were underage almost. But anyway, maybe not. But the owner of the motel, he said, "I'm going to have something in your room when you come back." Well, I couldn't imagine what it was. It was a bottle of champagne. And you know, I never had been tempted to drink. That's the truth. I had never been tempted. But I was tempted that day, and it was like, you're an adult and you're married. Now strike out on your own. Why, who's to tell you what to do and who's not to tell you not to do something? You see sin, what it is. And I grabbed that bottle of champagne that was on ice, and I ran with it down as fast as I could down to the office. Because I had that temptation to shake my fist at God and said, "I'll do what I want." That is wicked. Not the drinking is as bad as that shaking my fist. But Jesus never did that. The cure isn't you. Well, I'll quit my sin. I'll start living right. I'll start acting right. I'll start thinking better. I'll change my attitudes about things. You can't. You have a nature that is susceptible always to these things. That old nature of yours is always striking out on its own, always making its own way, trusting itself, believing its own nature and own ideas and own thoughts. You receive that nature and you live in that nature, and you need to be delivered. Ever since Eve sinned, all of mankind have been plunged into that nature of evil. And I say to you that only a Savior can change that in your life. The old Adam or the new Adam. It's your old nature, or Christ has to give you His righteousness. And Christ in you then will be the hope that you'll have of heaven. Not your goodness, not your abilities, not your determinations. But when we see our sin and what we've done and how we have shaken our fist in the rebellion against God, accused Him of wrong things when we've murmured and complained and had bitterness, and not trusted what He told us because we had our own ideas and our own beliefs. And when we've done those things, I'll say to you that it is Christ that has to come back. And He was tempted without sin, though. And it's His righteousness that can be imparted unto you. And then you will be right with God. Christ has to do it for you. The cure is not you, it's the Lord Jesus. Can you trust Him? Is He true? He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," didn't He? Amen. You can trust Him. You can't trust a lot of things, but you can trust Christ. Has He ever lied to you? You read the Word of God, you'll find it's accurate. You'll find it's true. And He lived by it. He's truth. Brother Houston, I've had to change my mind about a lot of things. But Jesus was always right and always will be right. He's truth. Is he good? I tell you this. Can you trust his goodness? Did he die on the cross to save sinners? He didn't have to. Did he come that we might have life? Yes. And what did he have to do to give us life? He had to die. Don't tell me Christ isn't good. Don't tell me God is not good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No, you can trust his goodness. Do you know what sin basically is? It's an unbelief. An unbelief in his goodness, an unbelief in his word, and an unbelief in his authority. And Jesus came to show you this wonderful way of God, this wonderful God that created you. He is the description. He is the word of God. And he came and showed us his truth. No man spake as he spoke. He showed us his goodness by dying on the cross, and he showed us his authority and power overcoming death and ruling. Do you know he's your creator? He's the authority. He knows how to run your life. Can you trust him? Sometimes people say, I'm going to start straightening out my life and then I'll be right with God. And I say, you can't. And you won't, and you have no power, and I show them what they are. And let me give you a story. If I ever preach again, I'll probably say, tell this same story. I'm getting old, and I can do this. So, anyway, if I came into your house, and I burned your house down and killed your children, and then I said, you know, I feel kind of bad about that. I shouldn't have done that. Let me mow your lawn. You'd be so mad. But you see what we do? We say, God, I know I've done wrong to you. Let me do something good to make up for it. It doesn't work. You know what God wants you to say? He wants you to say, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do. I'll never make up for it. I can't do anything. That's what sin, when we see it, brings us to conclude. When we see what our life really is, then we would say, I can't make up for it. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. I'm lost. That's what God wants to hear. From your heart. The truth. And then he'd say, I can do something about it. I can do it. Did you hear my word, what I said? All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I can help you. I gave the word. I told how it could be done. I died on the cross. I'm telling you the truth. You can believe that. I did it for you. I didn't do it. I don't have something. You can't make me any greater. And God is showing you his good. You can trust his goodness. Did you ever want a friend? He's a good friend. You can trust him. Does he have the power to do it? If he has the power to create you in the first place, don't you think he has the power to give you a new heart? Could he go to his Father on your behalf right now and say, I'll do that for them? Could he do that? Would his power be enough? Would he be listened to? Is he acceptable to his Father? In every way, and he could gain your salvation for you. That's what trusting him is. Amen. Believing that he is good, that he is true, that he is the authority, and he can do this for you. Did you ever, as a Christian, did you ever fail the Lord miserably? Do you have a good Savior? Mm-hmm. Is he lying to you when he says, I love you? Can you trust that? Would his blood wash you and cleanse you? So he has the power, doesn't he?
We walk always by believing in Him, in His Word, in His goodness, in His authority. We come to Christ that way. We live that way. We walk by faith. We keep our eyes upon Christ. That drug addict, how do I tell him? After he's saved, you can't do it. You can't keep out of the drugs. You've got to look to Christ. He can do it. Keep your eyes on Him. He has the power. He has the goodness. Love Him. Trust Him. And what happens to sin? It's defeated by Him. Aren't you glad? I don't know. I'm talking probably to the choir. Everybody probably knows all these things. But I say to you, this is a very simple thing. We have had unbelief, not believing God's Word, not believing His goodness, not believing His authority. And we come to Christ and we see His truth and we see His goodness and we see His power. And we say, Christ has to do it for me and I trust in Him. Oh, Lord, would You save me? Many people I've seen that come to know Christ, they didn't even say anything out loud. I say, look to Christ. Can He do it for you? And the thoughts come and the realization of trust in Christ and they're saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been saved? You say it's a joy, isn't it, to hear it? All that Christ has done. All His goodness. Can't brag on us, can't we? But it's always His wonders, goodness, and so on. Sin, how ugly it is. Oh, how pure, how wonderful, how righteous, how good the Lord Jesus is. And if He saves you, you'll love Him. You'll love Him. If you trust Him, you'll find Him true. And you'll love Him. God bless you today. May you look to Christ. Somebody here today would say, I'm a church member, or I've been a good person, and you start realizing and thinking, I'm wrong with God. Then look to Christ, and He'll save you from your sin. He is the cure. May you know Him, and may you find rest in Him this day. Our Father, we thank You of Your goodness and Your power. We thank You of Your truth, righteousness, no wrong in You. Our sin is so great. We may not have ever done this or we may not have ever done that. But all that wickedness of our heart is so great when we do not trust You. And when we have not looked at Your goodness and accepted that and complained and murmured or been bitter, we take our fist and say, God, I don't care what You want me to do. I'm going to do this. I know better than You. And we refuse Him and are rebellious to Him. Oh, how wicked our sin is. But how good it is to have a Savior that did all of that for us, that we might be saved, we might be forgiven. Lord, may we be humble today, no pride. May it not be said in our own thinking, oh, I'm a good person. No, may we say, look what I've done to God. Not just once or twice, but over and over I've made decisions. Over and over I've lived against His Word. Again and again I have not trusted and followed Him. And we would see how wicked, but how then Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin and left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And may our hearts, Lord, be aware of Your wonders and Your way of salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.